Hello, 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 and welcome. I am thrilled today. I brought you a complete rock star from New York City, and her name is Joya Das, and she's an entrepreneur. She's in leadership. And if you've been sort of like looking for how to stand up or how to stand tall or how to get seen, I really feel like this interview is going to help you. So welcome, Joya. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Erica. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna maybe ask you like what keeps you up nights? Like what's something that you think about when you're looking at growing your business and building your empire?
I've done a lot of money mindset work in the last year. So it used to be that that was the thing that kept me up at night. And then I set about a very intense course in ingesting audible books and reading books to really turn that thing around. And so, what used to keep me up at night in the last couple of years no longer keeps me up at night. Now I'm up-leveling my business. I want to go to seven figures. And so I'm actively thinking about the systems, the processes, and most importantly, who do I need to become in order to be able to create that result. And I think that last part is such a key piece that most people miss. Who do you need to become in order for that next level
Yeah.
of you to be able to transpire? And for me personally, it means that I'm spending a lot more time alone. It means that I'm putting a bigger premium on rest because I need for those answers to bubble up in the silence, as opposed to my 20, 30, 40-year-old self that probably needed a lot more adrenaline hits, given that I live in New York City.
I love New York City. I went there once, it's so funny because I planned this trip to Washington, D.C. in New York City, and I loved Washington, D.C., which I knew I would, but I didn't know I'd love New York City. And then
What
I
makes you
got to
love
New
New
York
York City?
City. Well, I have a wonderful friend there, and he took me everywhere, and we walked Soho, and he told me the history of all the districts and all the neighborhoods and all the quirky. We ate at some of the quirkiest, most gorgeous restaurants in the strangest locations. I think it was really just that there's something for everyone. That's what it felt like.
Amazing.
Compared to California, where like after 10 o'clock at night, forget
Yeah, I think we're a little bit spoiled living here because if you want a gyro or if you want an egg sandwich or you want Twizzlers, I don't care what you want, and you want it in the middle of the night, you actually do have the ability to get it. And I grew up in Pennsylvania. My partner is from Milwaukee, and you realize very quickly how spoiled we really are when you go back home.
The money mindset shifting, the shifting, and I could kind of almost, because I'm so intuitive, I could almost see where becoming is like immediately when you're talking about systems, and it seems like solopreneurs resist like hiring people, or they resist like allowing someone else to do something, which is the same thing, I guess. What can you say to someone who's kind of like on that edge and they just can't seem to let go of any of the pieces?
Yeah, I mean, you're describing so many of my clients right now, two of them, in fact, so terrified of the money spend. So terrified. It's not even about managing that person, whether they could manage that person, what that would do in terms of freeing up their leadership. They are solely white knuckling the money piece. And I think that that's really acting from a scarcity mindset versus a abundance mindset. So one of the things that I did, I follow a lot of the works of Dr. Ben Hardy, and he's written several books with another executive coach named Dan Sullivan. And one of the things that Dr. Ben Hardy talks about is journaling. He's a huge advocate for journaling, but there is a morning practice for journaling and an evening practice for journaling, and those are two very different practices. The morning journaling practice requires you to answer five questions. Where am I now? What are my wins from the last 90 days? What are the wins I want for the next 90 days? Where do I see my life 3 to 5 years from now? I take the answers to those questions and they're plastered at the front of my journal. And before I start to write in the morning, I review those. Because guess what that does? Now I'm writing from the perspective of my future self, as opposed to writing from my current self. And that future self has a team. That future self has plenty of white space in her calendar to be able to do deep work. That future self has the seven-figure business already. I know you've mentioned spirituality and light workers. Everything exists in the quantum field. What we're seeing in our current reality is merely a byproduct of that. So how can we be first cause and speaking from first cause as opposed to the residual that is showing up as your current experience?
Yeah, I think I have this one client. Her spirit is she can see, like her vision is so good. You know what I mean? Like she can see things that others can't. She can see buildings that are being built, already built. She can, like, some people have a more difficult time with sort of like getting their arms around that sort of like future self. And I think I was looking at you made a vision board recently. Was I looking at that correctly?
You know, I made it actually.
Go ahead. But yeah, because I feel like that's really kind of important.
Yeah, I mean, surrounding yourself with visions and images of what you want to have happen is a very powerful, powerful mechanism for three reasons. Number one, you're sitting down and putting real intentionality and clarity around what you want. Most people don't make time to do that. Number two, you're putting it somewhere where you can see it every day, and that is activating your reticular activating system of your brain. That piece of your brain starts to notice the things that are going to make that vision or that image a reality and starts to ignore the things that do not. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. I pride myself on my little garden that I've built out on my back deck. And every time I come home in an Uber, I go past this berm that sits in the middle of the highway. And I don't think until I started gardening in earnest that I even noticed that the berm had all the flowers, the vinca flowers that I love to plant. And I've gone past that 1,000 times. But it wasn't until I started to actively be involved in my own gardening process that I started to see those flowers as well. My brain is starting to notice. Before it was totally ignoring it because I wasn't focused on it. And then number three is that vision board, again, is a steady reminder of your future self. And if you're not looking at it every single day, then how is that future self going to manifest? The thing that I actually did just recently and I talked about on social media is that I did a 10-year vision board. What is Joya's life going to look like in October of 2033? I will be 60 years old at that point. And it was something that I learned from my interview with Debbie Millman. If that name means nothing to you, she's the founder of a very popular podcast named Design Matters. And she, in turn, learned this practice, this exercise from Milton Glaser, who was her teacher at one point. And that is to make a 10-year plan and do it in a great deal of specificity. What's the place you live in? What are you wearing? What is your coffee? What does your bathroom look like? Where are you traveling? What does your business look like? And the power in doing this, she had, you know, done this exercise with Milton Glaser, but had put her notes in a daily, you know, notebook where she wrote all of her notes. And she was very surprised to come back a year later, not 10 years later, a year later, and see how many of those things that she had put down had already manifested. So there's just real power in doing 10 years, 5 years, 1 month, whatever it is that you want to have happen. In fact, when I get off this call today, one of the things I'm going to do is print that 10-year vision and put it up on my mirror where I do my makeup every day.
I love it. I started doing this kind of fun thing with that where I go online. I used to do it with magazines and glue, but I go online and I find images. But I have to tell you the funniest thing. I put on there that I wanted to live on a horse ranch. But I kind of like visioned it a little different than it is because now I live on a horse ranch and there are horses in my face. Like there's one right across from me. He's so pretty.
But that sounds like it manifested exactly what you wanted. No,
I did. But it's just so different than I thought. Like it's the funny thing about this work is like, yeah, I live where I dreamed I'd live. But yeah, now I kind of want to live near the ocean.
Oh, well, that means that you have to make a new vision board.
I know. I'm 25 minutes from the ocean. I mean, I do live on a gorgeous horse ranch. It's not a difficult place. It's just interesting. Like sometimes you want something, and you get it, and you're like, "Huh, this is really interesting." Like now I want something different. That's the way life works. So I love the other thing that I like to think about is that desire. I feel like when you desire something, it's desiring through you. Like we think it's, oh, it's me desiring this, but it's actually, I feel like sometimes the desires are like gifts that are given to us. I don't know, something interesting
If
I think
you've ever
about.
read, the works of John Randolph Price, Wallace Wattles, Napoleon Hill, all of them kind of go back to the same thing. I'm a Hindu, so I can't speak to this in first person, but what I know of, Western religion is that there's a lot of fire and brimstone. Like it's sinful for you to be asking for good things in life or for you to be wanting, lovely things. And the fact of the matter is, if you read any of these books of these great scholars, they talk about the fact that you wanting and having good things, i.e., desire, is actually a higher power's truest form of expression.
Beautiful.
Universe, God, whatever you might call it, the highest form of expression is that first class seat. The highest form of expression is that cashmere sweater or that family vacation that you always wanted to Paris or that Benedetti boat. And there's enough to go around. It's not like there's a shortage. There's enough to go around because not everybody wants or desires the same things.
Well, is there anything else, Joya, that you'd like to share just about your business in general? Is there anything else? Maybe tell us a little bit more about how you like to help clients and maybe clients that you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think a great example of how I help people. I spoke to a college class last week, and it was a group of aspiring journalists, and I was brought in to talk about how I became a news anchor. And one of the gals linked in to me on LinkedIn, and she asked the question, "It was great listening to you, but where do I go from here? I'm an intern right now. I potentially would like to have a full-time job, but how do I get taken seriously?" And I said, "Well, you got to start writing your thoughts down. You work in the beauty industry. What are the trends you're seeing? What position do you have on those trends? You must have a unique message on what you're seeing as the industry is progressing, especially from your lens. Write it down, create a body of work. That's how you start to get ser found, taken seriously." She's like, "Well, where do I even start?" And so I presented ikigai, which is a Japanese term, but it's if you were to make a Venn diagram of what you love, what people would pay you for, a product or service that you would create, at the intersection of all of that is your true purpose, ikigai. Think about the things
Hi.
that your friends ask you for the most. What do they rely on you the most? This is a question I ask my clients. Therein lies your value. And that's the thing you probably should be talking about. And
I
in a
love it.
matter of minutes, that distilled for her very quickly what blog she should start. And she already started to put her, pen to paper and put thoughts down. So for me, I think that because I'm a journalist, I'm able to see things very clearly and distill thoughts very quickly. And I'm able to. Provide that clarity that someone could spend, she could have spent the next 3, 5, 7 years spinning, wanting to figure out how to be taken seriously. And I distilled that inside of like an email conversation. That's my superpower.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming, Joya. How can we reach you and find out more?
You can always get a hold of me at joyadas.com. My website is joyadass.com, and I'm joyadass on all of my socials, so it's very easy to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.